Morning, family.
Morning.
You know, that song we just sang is really a powerful one. I didn't know they were going to be leading that song beforehand. Let me tell you, it's very difficult to speak after I hear a song like that. The older I get, the more emotional I get. I just do. And we do need to bear in mind the last statement that was said in that song. Above all else, he thought of you. And that's why we're here in the first place. It's always because of Jesus and his infinite, infinite love for us. And the more we recognize that, the better off we will actually be. Well, I want to welcome you to this joyous occasion to remember and to recognize our seniors for a job well done, a milestone that they have accomplished. It's by God's grace that you're here, and we're just so thankful for that. It's been a challenging year, but you've adapted, and you've made it. So you have something to be very thankful for in all of that. So you're going to have new opportunities, new experiences, a new chapter in your life. You're going to have even more opportunities to serve other people and to put your faith in action. But I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that you're also going to be faced with challenges and difficulties at times. Your faith is going to be tested. But you shouldn't view your testing of your faith as a negative. Actually, it's a good thing because our Father wants you to grow into the likeness of his Son. So it's actually a good thing. But today I just want to share with you two short but important things to remember as you embark on your new chapter in life. The first thing that we always need to remember is that God is in control. And secondly, that you've got to have a servant's heart. You must have that. First of all, God is in control. You know, what's been going on with the pandemic and everything else is very easy to wonder at times. Is God, in fact, in control? Absolutely, he is. All you have to do is also ask your family and friends and people who've gone through tragedies and hard times. They know what it is to have a death of a loved one, to have illnesses that have gone on for years, suffering. It has happened. But we need to always realize that God is in control. And Satan is a master at using these events in our lives to turn us away from God. And we've got to be careful of that. Some of his greatest weapons in his arsenal are discouragement and doubt. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants to put that seed of doubt in your mind that causes us to think at times, does God really love me? Does God really care? If he did, I wouldn't be in such a predicament. That's a serious mistake. God has proven he loves you. He has proven that he cares. God is in control. It's very easy to lose sight of that when we don't understand the bigger picture. And many times God does not reveal the bigger picture to us. But sometimes in hindsight, God gives us an epiphany where we can recognize that. And I'm reminded of a person in the scriptures that this actually occurred to as well. Joseph, a very young man, actually only 17 years old, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers who wanted to murder him. He was sold into slavery. He was there. Then he was imprisoned for a crime that he didn't commit. Now, how long he was in prison, we're really uncertain, but we do know that he was 30 years of age when he came to power, second in command of all of Egypt. He was 17, and now he's 30. He could very well have been in prison for over 10 years. Think of that for something that he never did. He didn't have bitterness. There's no indication of that at all. But he could say later, when his brothers came before him, he could later say in Genesis 45, verses 5 through 7, it wasn't you who sent me here, but it was God. He recognized the bigger picture of his role in that. And sometimes it's very easy to lose sight of that. But another time when people seem to lose sight of that is especially in the life of Jesus. Here our Lord was with the disciples and with many other folks for 3 years teaching, developing, mentoring, performing miracles, doing all these things, and they continually misunderstood. And when Peter made that great confession in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus applauds that, say, God, reveal this to you. My Father, reveal this to you. And then Jesus gave them more insight on what was going to happen. He predicted his suffering, his betrayal, and his execution. It was at that moment that Peter was disturbed, and he calls Jesus aside and rebukes our Lord. May this never happen to you. And Jesus had to remind him, your concerns are about man, not about God's. So it's so important that we bear in mind that there is a bigger picture. Even after the resurrection, in Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples were talking, so discouraged and frustrated at what had happened, and Jesus joins them in that conversation. And he let them know it was intended all along what he was supposed to do. And he opened the scriptures to them. And it wasn't until he did something familiar in their eyes, a breaking of bread, that they recognized it was Jesus himself. Let me tell you, God is in control. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus that we begin to sink. And literally, Peter knew that firsthand when he asked Jesus to walk on water in the storm. And he started to walk on the water, and it was fine until he took his eyes off Jesus. Then he began to sink. It's when we take our eyes off our master is when we have our biggest problem. Let me tell you, God has a track record, 1,189 chapters here, that he's faithful and he's in control. He always will be, and he always will be. Always. We need to trust him. But the second thing I want to talk about just briefly is that I want you to remember to always have a servant's heart. I can't overemphasize this enough. It's critical to your spiritual development. It is a process. It takes time. It just doesn't automatically happen. But there's two very important reasons why we need to develop a servant's heart. There's many other ones, but at least two reasons I'll bring up to your attention right now. One, your heart is the place of the battleground. You are aware we are at war. And the war is from good and evil, and it's over your heart. And that's where it is. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and following, it's a spiritual battle that we're a part of. So that's one reason why we need to have a servant's heart. But also, I'd also like to emphasize one other thing. We need to have a servant's heart because the God we serve is a servant. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, 28, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. One of the most beautiful scenes of all of the scriptures found in John chapter 13, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And what's so powerful about that particular episode is not the fact that he just washed the feet, because actually it just wasn't about washing feet. The text tells us in John chapter 13 that Jesus knew his time had come, that God had given all things under his power, is at that point he picked up the towel and he washes the disciples' feet. And he came up to Peter, and Peter says, do you wash my feet? And Jesus says, you don't know what I'm doing, but in time you will. But wasn't Jesus just washing feet? It was far more than that, family. We need to recognize the God we serve is a servant. And let me tell you, we are not above our master, and our master serves. I'm reminded of an episode, I believe actually in this congregation a number of years ago. Actually, it was, I think, over 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I only remember two things about that particular Wednesday night event. The first thing I remember is that the speaker was up there talking, and it was actually quite distracting. The person was coughing their throat, having a terrible time up there, and I'm sitting back about three quarters of the way, and I'm starting to get irritated at this speaker. I'm just getting frustrated at this guy. I mean, he's I'm having a hard time. And you can tell, I'm thinking, why doesn't somebody guy get this guy a drink? Why doesn't he sit down? Why does he just close his mouth? Do something. It was very, very distracting. Then all of a sudden, out of the right-hand side of my eye, I noticed a very quiet man, probably in his late 20s, didn't say a word. He just walked up the side. And he came up to the speaker, and he handed him a cup of water for his throat, and he sat down. That's the only thing I remember hearing that day. I was sitting there sulking and complaining. That young man was being Jesus to the speaker. And it's humbling. And I was just, I'll always remember that particular lesson. We need to develop a servant's heart. Sometimes we think it has to be something big. It doesn't have to be something big at all. It can be something small, something simple. And we know that because there's a story found in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus is going to be judging the world. And he gives us a forecast of what's going to happen. It says that Jesus is on his throne and he gathers the whole nation before him. And he puts the righteous on his right and the unrighteous on his left. And he says to those on the right, "Welcome, come and take your inheritance. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was imprisoned, and you visited me. I was naked, and you clothed me." And the people of the judgment are shocked. They say, "But when did we ever see you like that?" Then Jesus says the profound words, "When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." That is the God that we serve. Whether it's a cup of cold water, whether it's the encouraging word, whether it's a note, whether it's a letter, whatever it is, we can do that. And that makes a difference. Jesus takes it personal. He always will. But the last story I'd like to tell you is about a true story that happened 41 years ago. 41 years ago, many of you have heard of probably of Mother Teresa. In 1979, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. And it was said that after she won that award, a reporter came up to her and was interviewing her and said something to the effect that, "Well, you know, after you won this great prize, isn't there something that kind of swells up in you and maybe a little bit of pride or anything like this?" And she looked at that reporter and said, "Do you remember the story when Jesus entered Jerusalem and he was on the donkey and how everybody was praising? Everyone was yelling and screaming. They were putting their clothes down. They were taking all this stuff to make it better." She said, "Do you think the donkey thought it was for him?" She says, "I'm only his donkey. None of this is for me. We need to give credit where credit is due. Any good that we do is because of our Lord. It isn't us." Develop a servant's heart because that's the God we serve.
Y'all stand. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord.
Thank you. Please take your seats. And if you would turn your attention to the screens for the introduction of our seniors.
Sheltered from harm when I am safe in his arms, and I am learning to do his will. Hearing his call, though I stumble and fall, I can get up and keep growing still. I'm growing up in the Lord.
Hola, Jesús. Quiero que sepas que me siento muy contenta, pero sobre todo muy agradecida con Dios por este logro, uno de muchos que vendrán en tu vida. Es mi oración que el Señor siempre te bendiga y te guarde, que Él haga resplandecer sobre ti su rostro y te dé paz, que sea su Santo Espíritu creando un corazón limpio y un espíritu recto dentro de ti, que seas un hombre como Daniel, que se mantuvo firme en su fe sin comprometerse con los placeres de este mundo, y que seas un hombre como Josué, valiente, dispuesto a luchar por sus metas, por sus propósitos, sin miedo a nada, sabiendo de que tiene a Dios siempre de su lado. Yo te bendigo, hijo, y quiero que sepas que te amo.
Dear Jonathan, we thought we'd write you a poem. We call it Stopping by JPB on a Snowy Eve. Born in the wake of 911.
Jonathan Paul, our number three son.
Creative, funny, perceptive, and strong.
Who would have thought that Caroni would be part of your song?
ABC Mariba, Mid-Ohio and Trek.
Kayenta Ace Fusion Connect.
Brothers, Devin, family and friends.
Legos, Catan, and Fortnite weekends.
You've always suspected that birds aren't real.
But there's no doubt in your mind that Chick-fil-A's the real deal.
Arlie, Space Jam, Nordista Freeze.
Guitars, ukulele, garage band, and keys.
TLC musicals, dramas, and scripts.
Cookout, Mondays, Total Eclipse.
You've always found ways to make your friends smile.
With a joke and a laugh, or just to hang for a while.
Now you're off to learn to drive a Zamboni.
And all because your senior year was cut short from Corona.
We love you.
Love you. And one more thing.
We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty.
With this gift he has given me, I am not what I used to be. Since he came into my heart to dwell, everybody can tell.
Best is yet that I'm gonna see. Best is yet
that I'm gonna. Well, Jace, I don't know what I'm going to do without my morning, noon, and evening sports update. I may just have to download the ESPN app just to hear that annoying update tune. So glad you'll be close at Lipscomb so we can come watch you play intramural sports. Sitting on the bleachers watching you play was always a highlight for me. Your fierce competitive spirit and your unique understanding of the game was fun to watch. You are always a team player and truly care about other people and bring out the best in them by putting their needs above your own. God will use your tender heart to encourage others and do great things in his kingdom. Always trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him and he will guide your path.
Jace, you came in during crazy times and guess what? Still crazy. For 18 years, we went from one sports season to the next with you and it was a blast. But my favorite memory is standing on the sidelines with you on Friday nights at Lipscomb games. Some memories may not be as fun for you, Like the time you hurt your wrist and we told you to keep playing for 2 weeks and realized it was broke. Parents of the year. Jace, you are one of the best people I know. You're kind, sincere, and a gentle giant. People are drawn to you because they know that you care for them. God has blessed us for 18 years, and I know He has unbelievable things in store for you. Thank you for blessing us. We are so proud of you.
We love you.
Dad.
Mom.
Jaden.
Jensen.
Sing this rockin', sing this rockin' song.
Gonna hold this child, gonna hold her tight.
Lauren was a chunk when she was born. We called her Poda, for Princess of the Air. She never wanted to be set down. As a third kid, Lauren always had something to prove, as evidenced by the WWE Worthy Victory celebrations. She's a gifted wordsmith. She's made a great choice in a boyfriend. Viola, basketball, volleyball, cornhole, pool, calculus, fishing, lemonade. Once when you're mad at yourself, I remember you crying, but I'm the good one. Remember, God and we love you because of who we are, not how you perform. Remember, God and we have more grace than you can spend. And next time you play chicken with a car, you'll fare better if you're also in one. Look out, life. Here comes Lauren.
Lauren, you are such a ray of sunshine, and I'm thankful every day that God gave you to us. You've been blessed with so many talents, from writing and drawing, creating beautiful music with your viola, to being a fierce competitor in any sport you try. You have always been driven to achieve and have done your very best to meet the standards you expect of yourself. These things make me very proud, but what makes my heart swell is your relationship with the Lord and your heart for Him. You are kind and compassionate, open to His leading, and always ready to serve. You truly desire to be like Him and walk closely with Him. God has great plans for you, and I can't wait to see your bright future unfold. I love you.
Our dearest Rachel, congratulations on reaching this milestone. You have been determined to make it in this world since the day you were born. I see the fire, energy, and all the essential ingredients that will guarantee your success. Your mom and I are very excited for you as you transition into college life and all the wonderful things this world has to offer. We hope you take time to savor these special moments and that you always look back and remember them. I love you, Rachel, and we are so very thankful that God gave you to us to raise. Love, Dad.
Rachel, I can't believe how quickly time has passed. Ever since you were born, you have been a blessing to us. God knew that we needed you to complete our family. Ever since you were a little baby, you've had an imagination and a wit to keep our family laughing. I love your determination, your strong will, and that'll take you far in life. Keep God in your heart, make Him your priority, and you will go far. Dad and I are so proud of you, so proud of the young lady you've become. We love you.
Dear Daniel, it's definitely been weird this year with the quarantine going on and school being out. At the moment, who knows when graduation will take place?
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Your sister sure was disappointed when the ultrasound nurse told her that she was going to have a baby brother. I don't think it took her very long to get over that once you were here.
You've always been a determined kid, and if it was something you wanted, you worked hard to achieve your goal, whether in sports or music or whatever. I guess that's why we have a puppy.
You've always been a great help and a joy to work with when working on various home projects once we get you off the Xbox.
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
Daniel, wherever life takes you, even if you hit wall, remember to always grow in your faith in Christ. Don't let others lead you astray, but stand firm in what you know is right. Know that God has a plan for your life, and often it's not what you plan for yourself, but better than you ever dreamed. Always soar in the sky as you find yourself.
Love, Mom and Dad.
Please keep me safe when my room is dark. A simple
thought. Dear Thaddeus, how appropriate it is that your favorite verse is Romans 8:15.
The spirit that we received is not a spirit that makes us slaves again and causes us to fear. The spirit that we have makes us God's children chosen through adoption, and with that spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm so thankful that through this earthly adoption we've been able to witness your spiritual adoption. You are no longer full of fear as you were when we first met you. You are now so courageous and so full of the joy of the Lord.
Thaddeus, I am so proud to be your father. You've become such a great worker, whether it's around the house, volunteering at Lantern Lane, or, don't tell your mom, but I think you were my best helper on the RV trip. There are two things that I just simply love about you, Thaddeus. Your amazing smile, and how it is that when I pick you up at work at the YMCA, everybody responds to you so positively, and that's because you are so kind to them. We love you, buddy.
Thank you for listening when I need you.
A simple thought so innocent, a sweet aroma heaven sent from one who's much too young to be there.
Dearest Carissa, since the day you were born, you have brought immeasurable joy to our lives. We cherish the time we have spent together shopping, walking Sesame, reading books, riding bikes, and playing games. We counted it one of God's greatest blessings to be your parents. Our Heavenly Father has plans for you. We urge you to always put Him first in everything and remain faithful to Him, regardless of the challenges you face. Do the right thing, especially when it's not popular or no one is looking. Our Father will be your comfort and peace. Use your gifts and talents to benefit the kingdom of God, because that's why they were given to you. We love you, Carissa, Dad and Mom.
Caleb, I wrote to you the night before you started kindergarten, and the words I wrote then still apply now. I am praying for you as you start school, that you will always have confidence in who you are and whose you are, that you will always stand up for what's right as you already do, that you will learn to own your faith and share it with others so that God can make your joy complete. Caleb, I've seen God answer these prayers and so many more in the last 18 years. You have a passion for life and a passion for God, and we are blessed to watch Him shine through you. As you move out, remember that you are not alone. Even in the darkest days, He is with you. You will hurt, but He will heal. You will sin, but His grace is infinitely bigger. Read His promises. Write them on your heart. Always choose Him. Always choose love. Grace is never wrong. I love you, my fierce beast. Love, Mom.
Caleb, so much of your life has been defined by your love of animals. I'll never forget you taming that baby skunk and coaxing it to fall asleep in your lap. I have no doubt that God has gifted you in that area, but what I'm most proud of is your ability to love and serve people. One of my proudest moments came when I went to Stewart's Creek for your NHS ceremony. When I signed in, the secretary noticed our last name and quickly asked, "Are you Caleb's dad?" She went on to tell me that you were the most respectful, kind, and articulate young man she had ever met in all her years as a school secretary. At that point, the ceremony meant nothing. Your character and love of God meant everything. Keep loving God and treating others well, and success and opportunities to share the gospel will follow you all of your days. I love you, son. Pops.
Eve, your name means life. You were named after the first woman God created. You have always been full of life and love. From an energetic two-year-old catching frogs in creeks to the accomplished young artist you are today, you live life to the fullest.
I'm enjoying getting to know you now that you are a lovely young lady. I admire your creativity and originality and love seeing what you accomplish. Your stylishness and quirky sense of humor are so fun to be around. Your sweetness and generosity humble me. You truly exemplify a servant heart. I can't wait to see what your next adventure is.
God greatly blessed our family when He gave us you. Congratulations. Love, Dad.
And Mom.
Tempted by wrong, keep me ready and strong so I can handle the tempter's snare. Jesus is mine, and since He's there all the time, I am protected within His care.
Lord, oh, I'm getting stronger, turning back no longer.
Not yet, Lance. Well, I did not sign myself up to do a talk this morning, but Keith's comments about the rafting kind of struck a chord with me, and I promise I'll go quickly, but one of the other things that our guide told us was whenever she said bump, 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 we all gathered together into the center of the boat, because that might be, there's a chance we're going through some heavy rapids or a difficult time, and we had to push together into the center of the boat not to get thrown out. It's definitely been a bump, bump, bump for these seniors. They've had a hard time with some things, and I have seen them so appropriately push together. And that's why God created the church. That's why he brought us together. That's why we have a youth group and a youth ministry and a church. And what a blessing that is, especially as a parent this year, to know that my kids have that and have a body of believers that focus first on God, but the bump, bump, bumps come. We have that relationship with one another. And so what a blessing that is. At this point, I am going to introduce our seniors, and I'm going to ask our seniors and their parents, or if they have a parent here, to come forward. I'm going to give them a Bible, and then I'm going to ask them to come up onto the stage. Now, up on the stage, we have pieces of tape, blue tape, to kind of space out on the stage, but we're going to ask you to come up and be on the stage and space out. Once we get all the seniors up on the stage, Tim Partlow, who's also the father of a senior and an elder here at church, is going to lead a prayer on behalf of our seniors. And then after that, we'll let Lance do announcements. All right. I know he's ready. He's ready. But you're going to come up on stage in a minute first. Okay. All right. Just making sure. All right. Our first senior we want to recognize is Lily Aguilar, the daughter of Pamela and Alnufo Gonzalez, and she graduated from Penn Foster. So come on up here. Lily is what she goes by. Our next senior is Jesua Bustia Leyva, son of Nelly Leyva and Israel Lopez. So come on up here, Jesua. And Jesua graduated from Overton High School. Congratulations. Yeah, just head on upstage there. Our next senior is Jonathan Butterfield, the son of Gina and Keith Butterfield, graduated from MTHEA and was homeschooled. Our next senior is Jace Cunningham, son of Todd and Tracy Cunningham, and graduated from David Lipscomb High School. Our next senior is Lauren Finley, daughter of Lisa and Lance Finley, and graduated from Overton High School. Our next senior is Rachel Hammett, daughter of Catherine and Wayne Hammett, and graduated from Ezel Harding High School. Our next senior is Daniel Hauser, son of Debbie and Brian Hauser. He graduated from Stewart's Creek High School. Our next senior is Thaddeus Partlow, son of Angie and Tim Partlow, and graduated from the Partlow Academy. Very prestigious academy. Our next senior is Carissa Smith, daughter of Philip and Mari Smith, and graduated from Oakland High School. Caleb, I'm going to skip over you so that I can go up there with you. Our next senior is Eve Sturgeon, daughter of Amy and Clay Sturgeon, graduated from home school. Our next senior is Susanna Wydick, daughter of Penny and the late Marty Wydick, graduated from home school. And our last senior is Caleb Sowards, my son and Aaron's son, graduated from home school.
Speaking for the elders, we just want to say that we are very proud of what you have accomplished. This is a big milestone in your life. And a lot has been made about the craziness of this year. And it just made me think, you know, we cannot choose the times that we live, but we can choose how we live in the times that we are given. And that is something, a good thing for us to remember as we face kind of these struggles. I'm going to speak just for a second as a father, and I just want to say to this class, there are many of you that were really good friends to my son, and you guided him, and you protected him, and allowed Angie and I to give him some freedoms because of you, and we are grateful for that. A couple of scriptures I want to leave with you. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You are full-fledged followers of God. You are Christians. And so right now, you're still an example. You are providing an example to people. But I also wanted you to remember that Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30. That's about 12 more years for most of you. And so I challenge you, as Jesus did, to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we have had an opportunity to watch all of these young adults grow. As we look through the pictures today and we were reminded of seeing them when they were young, maybe teaching them, maybe being a counselor at camp, maybe interacting with their families. And Father, we are grateful that you trusted us to help these parents raise these children. Father, we just pray that that they will always sense your presence. You are with them. You are going to be with them wherever they go. You are going to always be there for them. Father, I pray that they will know that they will know how much you love them. They will know that your spirit lives in them. And Father, I just pray that we will have a great reunion before your throne someday with all of us that are here together praising you. Father, go with this class. Protect them and guide them. Let them listen to you. In your son's name, amen. We will go back to our seats, and Lance, it's your turn.
And now back by popular demand, the announcements. All right, really separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, there are some ways to give. As always, you can give online at the website, or you could download the app. Also, we have the ability to receive a check if you'd like to mail one in or hand it to Jim Taylor or show a friend. I would like to take this time now to acknowledge the university graduates. So we have Jacob Holmes, who's a Master of Science in Professional School Counseling. Jamie Smith has gotten a BS in Nursing. And Katie Smith has a Bachelor of Arts from UTC. And our very own Monica Wentworth has a doctorate in. And Isaac Young is graduating from Harding with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. And Samuel Young has a BA in Computer Science. And now a very special announcement from Kent Johnson.
For the past several months, we've had a group of people that have been praying and searching for a new youth minister. And this morning, we want to introduce that family to you guys. So I would ask the Parkers to come up, Jonathan, Megan, Lily, and Emmett. It seems like in order to be a minister here, you have to have at least two names. Michael Whittington is Whit, Jose is Goyo, and Jonathan, I think, goes by JP. So he fits the bill well. I'm not saying that influenced the committee's decision, but we're certainly happy that that they're here. They come to us from the South Yukon Church of Christ, which is just outside of Oklahoma City. They've been there 4 years serving that church, and God's called them to Antioch. Most of you, or I'd say most of the teens, have met them because they spent, I think, 3 days at ABC, so that's a good indoctrination. They were asked, I understand, to go around the mess hall. I'm not sure who told them to do that, but if you've ever been to ABC, you know that's kind of an old tradition, and that makes you feel excited, one of the team, I guess, and so they were able to do that. I think they were there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, right? And Emmett joined them, and he was a great baby at camp, I understand. I want to thank personally the committee that worked and prayed to listen to God to find JP and Megan to come and work with our teens. Stacy was on the committee, Jose, Elena, and Andrew. I think those were the four that worked diligently, listened to God, prayed in order to bring this family here. So we're excited. This is good news. In the middle of a pandemic, this is good news. So a little bit different, you know, the process was a little different than normal. But in spite of all that, they felt the calling of God to come and serve here with us. So we're excited to have them here. We want to pray over them. So I'm going to ask the elders who are here to come on up, and we will pray with them. Normally, we kind of lay hands on folks. I'm not sure we're going to do that, but we'll do it virtually, I guess, because the Spirit, we know, covers all of us. Jim Thweet, I think, is going to lead us in that prayer. Do you want to say anything? They moved in last Saturday, so I...
Sure.
Okay. JP will have a short word.
We just want to thank everyone for making us feel at home, who's helped us move, who's made meals for us, and just this church, we feel at home here already, and just the ability to come in and be one of you guys. And so we just thank you for the warm welcome and just everything that you've done for us and for our family. We're excited to be here.
All right, well, pretend like we've got our hands around you, you know. And,
sure.
And our practice is to huddle up, but this is, as always, but welcome. So let's pray. Our Father, we just know that the traditions here are strong, from the music that we play during the slideshow to everything else. And as we said, we're blessed that we've had a string of wonderful youth ministers, Father, and the teens and are tight and are supportive, and we ask that to continue. We ask your blessings on JP and Megan as they work with us. We ask your spirit and your hands to be on them. Father, we ask that you'll just be with us as a church, that we weather this storm, and that all the things that we love to do, we'll continue to do. That we'll see your hands working through us. We'll see your spirit working through us. We ask your blessings on the young adults and the teens as they study and learn about you. And as I said, be with JP and Megan. Bless their ministry. Bless them as they do. Be with Lily and Emmett and that family. And take care of us all, Father, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's welcome JP.
Let's all stand once again. Just one last housekeeping announcement to our seniors and their families. That luncheon downstairs that is planned for you will begin at 11 o'clock. At the conclusion of this song, which is going to serve as our benediction, we ask that we begin emptying the auditorium in the back, and we go like all the way through the lobby and fellowship all you'd like out under the drive-thru. Sing out.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you.